Honor, Doug Phelps on behalf of Michael Logis. And if it pleases the court.
Logis, I take it.
Logis, yes, okay. Your Honor. Your Honor, this case arose out of a search warrant that was conducted, a search actually that was conducted by the DEA and some local law enforcement agencies for drugs. But in the course of that, a Fish and Wildlife agent responded to the scene without a search warrant, ostensibly on the call of a local sheriff who was involved in the search for drugs. At the scene, they seized antlers from various types of game and cougar skull and some other items. My client, Mr. Logis, was a taxidermist, and he had those items there for both himself and his family and some other people. He also did that as a hobby. And it's not disputed that there was no warrant for any of these items that the Fish and Wildlife agent seized. I don't think there's any dispute about that. But this case was dismissed at summary judgment in the district court, and it's our contention that the court erred in dismissing the action against the Fish and Wildlife agent Ray Smith when there was injunctive relief available as to her personally and as an agent officially, and that there was a potential for monetary damages that could have been brought against her for the actions. But most importantly,
it seems to me there's at least one stumbling block in your case, and that's these two Washington statutes that basically give the Fish and Wildlife wardens of Washington State a pretty broad swath to do things without a warrant. So I'd be interested to know how you think those statutes figure into the analysis.
Well, I think certainly that a state statute could not supersede the Constitution in terms of the Fourth Amendment seizure. And I think that statute's distinguished, too, because it has an exception in it for a search conducted in the home or in the person's house, and that's what occurred in this case. These items were in the home and in the outbuilding there on the property in Stevens County.
They have a right to be there, and once you have the other agents there under a warrant, it kind of breaks down into presence and then seizure. What is your view on whether the Fish and Game officer had a right to just be on the property at the invitation of the other officers?
Well, I don't believe that she did have a right to be there at the invitation of the other officers, because she was there looking and searching for evidence of Fish and Game violations, and the warrant specifically stated that it was only for drugs and the proceeds of drug activity.
The deputies were there lawfully pursuant to a warrant.
The deputies were there as part of the DEA activity.
Were there lawfully and properly, correct?
I believe that they were there lawfully and properly.
Be where they were, right?
The deputies working with the DEA did have a right to be there.
They see some material. They're not expert in this area, so they called the Fish and Wildlife people, right?
Well, I think there is a question about whether they were there lawfully, and I guess but that's kind of a separate issue. There was a search warrant that was signed by a district court judge, would be like a magistrate level in Spokane County. She was not a superior court judge. There was a warrant signed by magistrate.
The 1983 action, does your complaint attack the warrant or its validity in any way?
We did argue at the summary judgment that the warrants weren't valid.
Let's assume that they were there lawfully. It's hard to believe that you're arguing otherwise. But let's assume that the deputies were there lawfully. They see material. They're not expert in what may be Fish and Wildlife violations or not, were they?
Well,
I have a simple answer to that? They're not expert in the area, are
I think
they?
I think that the deputies probably in Stevens County are very well versed on Fish and Wildlife, because they work in a rural area. Many of them are hunters. And
whether they were or not, they sought the advice of somebody who was, correct?
They were, but they were not on the premises to seize anything
made that abundantly clear. Now, they bring her in. Does she just seize the items, just boom, grab them?
Well, what she did was, yes, essentially she did. She loaded up.
That's no, isn't it?
The answer that she immediately seized items.
Called somebody, didn't she?
No. I think before she went to the location, she called the prosecutor, Mr. Schroyer, to ask if she could go there on the warrant. And I think there's a little bit of uncertainty in the facts that came out in the deposition, whether Mr. Schroyer merely told her she could go onto the property or told her she could go there onto the property and seize items.
At a minimum, he said she could go there.
I think that's...
So at a minimum, she went there believing from the prosecutor that she had a lawful right to be there on the premises.
I believe that's true, that Mr. Schroyer did at least tell her that she could go to the property.
What's the clearly established right that she violated?
Well, the clearly established right that she violated was that she seized property, the antlers, the cougar heads.
Now describing what she did. What clearly established right of your client did she violate?
She seized items that were not under the warrant and were not readily identifiable as illegal for him to maintain or hold. She testified in her deposition that she didn't see, readily observe, and I think the district court found that the plain view analysis did not apply, that these were not items that could be seen on plain view as illegal items. And, in fact, she testified at the deposition that the tags that she was looking for, saying that these antlers didn't have, the tags only have to be with the meat. If you kill a game, piece of game, you're to maintain the tags with the meat. And these were antlers, horns, skulls, things where you're not required to have a tag. And that's why she seized these items, was because he couldn't produce the tags for the antlers and horns. My client's very versed in gaming and that. And he pointed out to her, I don't have to have a tag for skulls and antlers. I have to have tags for meat. And as she testified in her deposition, she wasn't aware that there was any meat there. So, and she says in her deposition that the tags were to accompany the largest portion of the meat. And I think the government's tried to argue that there might have been some brain matter or something attached to some of these antlers. But the tags that she sees these items for have to be kept with the meat. And so there wasn't a plain view violation. That's what the district court found. I think the judge was right in finding that. Because it's not against the law to have antlers and horns, and it's not uncommon for people in Stevens County and Coeur d'Alene, other counties, to go out and pick those up, and they use them for light fixtures and those kinds of things. And that's not against the law to possess. So what she seized was something that, on the face of it, was legal, and she held it for forfeiture or an investigation, claiming that she thought that there might be something illegal going on. I think the evidence is that later on she discovered there wasn't anything illegal going on, as my client maintained. So she went into his house, seized things that were legal. There was not, on the face of it, not anything illegal going on. And that's our contention.
Of course, what the district court found was that, taking all that to be true, that she, in good faith, based on the prosecutor, the statutes, the validity of the warrant, had no reason to think she couldn't do what she did.
I think that was.
That's really what the district court hung its hat on in the end.
I would agree with you.
You're down to about a minute. Did you want to save some time for rebuttal?
Yes, I would. Just save that.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We'll hear from the state at this time. Counsel?
Thank you, Your Honor. Good morning, Your Honors. I'm Gerald Cartwright. I'm Assistant Attorney General. I'm here for Officer Ray Smith and the Department of Fish and Wildlife of the state of Washington. What Officer Ray Smith walked into on the morning of May 11, 2005 was pretty massive drug search by the DEA and a local drug task force. And she was called there because they'd run across dozens and dozens of animal carcasses, hides, antlers, lots of things that they had questions about and didn't know whether these things were being held legally under state law or not. So they called Officer Ray Smith. She was off duty at the time, came on duty and responded to the property. She walked into a barn on the Loges property, and on the floor of the barn she sees a pile of salt, which, as an experienced officer, she knows is used in a taxidermy operation. Nearby the pile of salt, she sees a pile of deer heads with antlers attached to them. There are four deer heads. They have antlers attached to them. Three of them have the capes, the hides of the deer, still attached to the heads. And three of them have brain matter dripping still from the skulls, indicating they were recently, apparently recently, killed. Now, at this point, the officer thinks she's walked into a taxidermy operation. She doesn't know who these skulls belong to. The record indicates that as she's gone through the home and through the barn and the other outbuildings, she's seen a number of animals that have tags on them with other persons' names on them. Now, as Mr. Phelps indicated, his client, Mr. Loges, was a taxidermist, and was is the operative word there, because he was not a taxidermist on May the 11th, 2005, and the record indicates this clearly. Mr. Loges hadn't practiced taxidermy as a licensed person since 1998, and Officer Ray Smith knew this at the time she was observing all of these articles.
You know that he wasn't a taxidermist, didn't have a current license.
She indicated, and she so testified in her deposition that she was aware of this. I think she had access, computer access to licensing,
while,
even.
While she was on the premises?
Either on the premises or before, and or she was familiar with Mr. Loges from some other actions, because she is the Fish and Wildlife agent in that region and is familiar with the region and persons in the area. The
items that she seized that day were not contraband, were they?
May or may not have been. That's
well, unlike maybe cocaine, heroin, something like that, it was not something that was readily apparent as contraband, was it?
Not readily apparent as contraband. Okay. Correct.
Was there any danger that these items would be lost or destroyed or taken away from the scene?
Yes, that's the problem, Your Honor. If these kinds of items are left with an officer to try and come back later and seize them after doing further investigation, as soon as the officer drives out the driveway, the items are going to disappear.
You've left a little bit ahead of me. While they were there, when she responded, how many agents were there?
Can't tell you for sure, but there were more than five or six. There are a lot of drug agents there.
But was there anything to prevent her from asking them to assist in freezing the scene and seeking a further warrant to seize these items?
Don't know that there was.
Okay.
She did, however, walk into that scene and find these animals in that state, find that pile of salt, see all of these other animals tagged, and when asked Mr. Loges if he could produce the transportation tags for the four deer heads that he saw on the floor. And that's where I think we have a little problem with the record this morning, because Mr. Phelps tells us that he pointed out that he didn't need to have those tags with the antlers at that point. What the record truly indicates is that she asked for those tags, and he said he didn't know where they were. And at that point, she says, would they be with the meat? And at that point, he did not answer her.
How long were these items kept by the state?
The deer heads, and there were several items seized. The deer heads were kept, I believe, 4 or 5 months before they were returned after the charges were dismissed.
Yeah, it was determined that they were, it was not clear that they were unlawful, or what determination was reached by the state?
After the deer heads were seized, the officer went back and checked the harvest records, because every hunter has to turn in a harvest record. Mr. Loges' explanation on the scene was that he and his two daughters had shot at least three of the deer in that pile. What the officer noted was that in looking at the harvest records, one of the daughters indeed shot a buck deer. One of the daughters shot a doe. There was no doe in that pile of four heads. The other deer that was shot was, I believe, a 3x3 buck, and there was no 3x3 three-point buck antlers in the pile. So after seized, the further investigation still left that sort of up in the air.
What is it that the officer suspects at that time? Is she concerned that there's an illegal take of wild animals, or is she concerned that this is an unlicensed taxidermy operation?
She's got both of those concerns, Your Honor. She can seize items under the statutes if they're illegally taken or possessed.
Is she also charged with enforcing the taxidermy rules?
Right. The taxidermy licensing law is also under Title 77. And
so even if he had the tags on the deer, if he didn't have a taxidermy license, can he do it for himself if he's not doing it for somebody else's account?
Well, that becomes the issue. Is he doing it for himself? Is he doing it as a hobby, or is he doing it for someone else? And that's why the items were seized, so that could be followed up on.
You know, that kind of begs the question, because even under the Washington law, you had to have probable cause that there was a violation. So what was the probable cause that there was a violation at that stage?
All of the circumstances at the time would lead a reasonable officer in that situation to believe that these items were either illegally possessed or illegally taken. And those circumstances included the deer heads that were looked to be fresh kills without tags, Mr. Lowe just being unable to properly explain where they came from or produce the tags or the meat, and the pile of salt, together with all of those other items that the officer had seen and seized as she went through the property that day.
Okay.
Thank you,
Your Honor. Thank you very much for your argument. We always appreciate it when you stop a little bit short. Thanks for coming in today. You have a little bit of time left for rebuttal, counsel.
The agent testified that it's the policy of the department that they seize the items and then later determine if there's been any wrongdoing. And I think that's why injunctive relief is critical here, because the department has created, by testimony at least, a policy that they seize items if they can't determine if there's any illegal activity or not from the citizen, and then later they determine if there's been a violation, they return them. And that's what happened in this case. They seized those items and then gave them a forfeiture notice, and then later they sent a letter back to me as his attorney saying, we're returning these items. They don't apply as a forfeiture, and they return them to us.
At the time, was not a licensed taxidermist, correct?
No, but he can do taxidermy for himself and for game that he or his family would kill.
Could he charge for it?
Well, I think that would be the problem. If he were charging for performing taxidermy, that would get him in trouble. I would say that if you hunted with him and he did you a favor and he didn't charge you a fee, that he could mount the game for you as a favor, and he could also do that for friends and family.
Red light's on.
All right, thank you.
Thank both sides for their argument. Very interesting case. It's submitted for decision.